48 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of October, the year of our Lord. 2006, thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not already ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Hello there. It's Friday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be a part of our radio program today, whatever. And limericks continue to come in. I don't know. Here's the thing about today, and I'm going to tell you this right up front, because yesterday we had this business of the limericks, and then today was going to be all fully watched sounders. And I got, I don't know, probably seven that I think are playable. A whole lot of them are way too profane. So we've had to move those to the B pile. I'll put those on the website or something like that. So, anyway, the limericks continue to come in, so we'll probably read a few more of those as we go through today. It is Friday, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970. You know that thing where you're just sort of glazed over and you're just kind of staring off into space at no particular point in the distance?
Sure am.
How you feeling today? Happy to be here? Happy to be live?
I'm hungover.
You're hiding it well, though. I never would have guessed.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
How to be young again.
I don't know that that's really helping at this point. It's 503-733-2970. I remember when Sarah was 21 and drinking was no problem. I remember when your youth was a shield against all the evils of alcohol and you come in bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Not anymore.
Those days have passed. 503-733-2970. You can also email, if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. 503-733-2970. And I'm pretty sure that what's her name, that Mary has just vanished. I think she's just gone. And I don't think it's because I referred to her as talking like a video game character. I know a lot of people who consider that a compliment. Perhaps not Mary herself. But folks, people, pundits, in any event, so we'll go ahead and we'll lay out what we're going to get to here. It is Friday, so a whole bunch of stuff, including a great piece of news that we're going to get to probably, I don't know, about 11:45, probably within this hour. We'll have a great piece of news to share with you all. We have bees, and still more bees. Some from the ceiling, some from outside, some from the basement below. All of them intent on killing you. We have the world of tomorrow here today, sort of, kind of. And we have the magical question and the answer that follows. What is the worst thing you could possibly be impaled on? We'll talk about that. We have, I believe, Bob Costantini, who's going to be joining us today. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgartner. Who is that? Is he? Do we have him in the Star Trek thing? Because I know there was some chemical spill.
No, yeah, he's on the chemical spill.
But is he?
He's not talking about Star Trek, Rick.
Well, I'll make him talk about Star Trek. I mean, I know that there's no death, though, is there? Is there death, or is it just a spill?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, in any event, so Gary Baumgarten's going to join us later on. Theoretically, he's talking about, I got the story on it regardless, it is his 40th anniversary of Star Trek. And so Christie's, here's the thing, this is just like they say in Indiana Jones. It doesn't matter what it is, it could be some crap worth $1.99. You bury it in the desert for 1,000 years, and men will kill each other for it. Or whatever that guy said, whatever Belloc says. And so it is with Star Trek stuff. Captain Kirk chair, made out of wood. It's not even made well. I mean, I know that it's like 40 years old and all, but I mean, you go over and you see that chair where Tiberius Kirk sat. I mean, it's just plywood. It's plywood and then a bunch of those, what are those things they used to keep, to attach vinyl or whatever it is they did in the 60s to attach vinyl to wood? They look like, it's like diamond tufted leatherette. Anyway, they're like little bolts that they put into the vinyl to keep it. It's like if your dad had some really trashy friend who had a bar in his house. And it was always like a diamond-tufted leatherette bar with these little tiny studs that attached the material to the wood. That's what the Kirk chair looks like. Completely unimpressive. You can't even photograph it. I don't think they're selling the Kirk. I think they're selling the Picard chair, though. We'll find out. So at Christie's, I believe they are selling Jean-Luc Picard's captain's chair. So we'll make Gary, but he may think he's talking about the fates of people who are trapped in a chemical spill, but we'll fix this little red wagon. Jim Roop will be here later on. We did not We did not over the last few days get to fabricated and made-up news with Jim Roop. So we will, without fail, do that today. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, will be here today. Scott Daly. I think we're going to talk to Scott Daly via the phone. I'm really unclear about to what extent he's going to be able to participate in the show because I think he's all doped up on the drugs. Because he was getting that the sack cutting today. He said the V was getting done. Because I think two... Is it two kids that he has?
Two, yes.
Two. Mm-hmm. You don't know, do you?
He has two kids.
Is it two?
He has an older child and a baby.
All right. Well, anyway, so he's drawn the line. He's drawn the line Katie Holmes style. So he's had the snip. So I think he's just sitting home with the... And his pants full of grapefruit today. So we'll talk to him via the phone. But Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, will be in the studio today. He'll be talking about the new Martin Scorsese film, The Departed. It was just getting a strong review. I think the Rotten Tomatoes meter had it at something. Was it like a 94, 95, something like that?
USA Today gave it 3.5.
Out of 4?
Yep.
Mm. Well, we'll talk about that. What else? Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning, which Aaron is reviewing for no readily apparent reason. We'll talk TV as well. So that's all coming up later on. We have, I got a long email from somebody. It wasn't even sort of an angry email. They weren't even really being excoriating about it. It was just sort of a sadness. Just sort of a deep sorrow about the fact that we've got a longer program now, and yet we're getting to the top five less and less frequently. Less frequently, really, than ever before. So today we attempt to reverse that trend, and we're going to try to turn that around. We'll do that today, and we got Big Storm Large News inside this hour, around 11:45.
I was reading some gossip about her.
What's that?
Yesterday.
You can't start reading that, though. You don't want to read that.
Page 5.
No. It's bad for the soul. Don't read that, guy. I know exactly what you're talking about, too.
Where did you read it?
I'll go get it for you.
No, you don't. You're gonna bring negative energy in here.
No, it's not negative. It's things that people want to hear about.
Yeah.
All right.
Just Sarah X.
I'm distancing myself from it right now. If you're talking about the same gossip that I'm thinking of, you know you read that, didn't you?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, I'm not going to have any part of it. Rick Emerson votes no. I'll let you read it. It's 503-733-2970 or Rick at rickemerson.com. So all of that coming up today. We also have, where is this from? This gossip that you just
from the New York Daily News.
Is this
News.
The Daily News? Then it is exactly what I was thinking of.
But rewritten by a local entity.
I see. What watches have we today, Tim Ryan?
I'm not promising any watches. We do have, of course, it's one big penis watch, thanks to Congressman Foley.
Not so much a big penis watch as it is a...
multiple penis watch.
I was going to say an ongoing, maybe, is the better way to put it. I don't know that anybody...
A youthful.
I don't know that anyone can speak to the largeness of the penis watch. A youthful penis watch. a youthful and spring-like penis watch. By spring, I mean the season, of course. But, really, who's to say? Who's to say? So, that's all coming. We're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who joins us now in the studio. Hi!
Hi! It's weird to see gossip about Storm.
Yeah, but see, I read it, and then I see, but now we're...
This is what people want.
I know, but see...
If you're a major star, you want this. It's free.
Okay,
free,
can I just say this for a second? waving it at me like it's a fan in the Sahara. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, this is exactly what I... This
well, if you're a public figure, any gossip is better than no gossip.
I suppose. I don't know. It's like...
Well, unless you find...
Well, now we have to read it. See, the thing is, now we're obliged to read it. A, because it's been in the... whatever this is. This is the Willamette... but where is this? This looks like
Mercury.
Because I'm a tool, I can tell by the font.
It was reprinted in the Mercury, but it's not theirs.
Well, now we have to read by Adam Gnade. Whatever. And they use that one photo of her where she's kneeling and she's all greased up with black eyes. Or whatever it is. Looks hot. But we'll read this. I saw this in the Daily News the other day, and I deliberately glossed over it. It did not mention it because I don't wish to traffic in sordid rumor and speculation about a friend of mine.
Yeah, but it's not negative.
Are you sure?
No.
Yeah, it's
canoodling
fine.
Of any sort isn't negative.
Okay.
Or the accusation of such.
All right.
One wants to remain in the public eye.
I guess that's true. I guess if I have the opportunity to canoodle with celebrities, I would do it as well. Okay. Well, we'll make it part of our story. We'll fold that into the good news that we... And this is not the news that I had, by the way.
Oh.
The news that I had about Storm was completely apart from it. It was totally separate. So we'll get to that later on. All right. So, anyway, so we're here with Sarah Dillon. Long night? Long night or just a short but intense night? Are you checking yourself for scars?
No, I have, like, these weird bumps on my arm. Look at that.
I think those are probably ticks.
They're not.
We're going to have to burn them out. Scotty, get
that's
the Vaseline.
That's not funny.
Nah, it's, are you... That's hilarious.
No, they're talks.
With bed bugs.
No, I am fine.
Is this a pre-birthday thing where you're checking your skin for blemishes?
No, seriously, look at this. There's like some weird...
I see them too. Don't you, Tim? Not your head.
That does look like a rug burn.
It is. It's weird. I have no idea where this came from.
The rug burn.
No, it's
were you shopping for carpeting?
I'm not going to have to touch it. Oh, that looks like... That's weird. Did you fall asleep on, like, a pin cushion? That's exactly what that looks like.
I don't know. It looks bizarre, though.
It looks like you fell asleep on one of those... You know those things they sell at the Sharper Image where it's a box full of little metal pins and you push your face in or whatever and it makes the design? It looks like you fell asleep on a bunch of those little metal pins. That's exactly what it looks like. You got to be careful. Man, be careful. Have you been hiking? Did you brush against a branch or something? Like out in the woods, you got to be careful, man. In the Northwest, this happened to me just a few weeks ago. Laura dragged me off to some godforsaken hilltop with her friends. And I'm walking along, and I brush up. The nature is freaky, which is a recurring theme on the Rick Emerson Show. But I brush up against something, it's like a leaf or a plant or whatever. And we had just been to everybody's garden center, and I'd seen the carnivorous plants that they have there. And so I'm all freaked out about that stuff anyway. But I brush up against some leaf. And it sort of scrapes me. And then over the next day, it's right here above my elbow, my left arm. But the next day, my arm just proceeds to get progressively bigger. Bigger and redder. And then you start to think that there's, at any moment, you're going to be like that woman sitting at the dinner table in Aliens, and the thing's going to come out of your forehead. It's no good. Tim Riley is... So I'm over-caffeinated. Sarah's hungover and has a rash. Tim Riley's working on the following stories at the AM 970 Ministry of Truth.
Anti-Bush protesters are arrested in downtown Portland, and they write 911weknow.com with chalk on every street corner downtown.
I see that on the Hawthorne Bridge every day.
Yep. Major theater chains refuse to show the British Bush assassination film. Congressman Foley asks, have you seen your fellow pages naked? And will you send me pictures of your willy?
What?
Senator Foley asked, have you seen your fellow pages naked? And will you please send me pictures
of
you?
Oh, God, this is more instant messaging stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say Willie?
Well, I changed it to something nice.
Really? Was it a crudity that we would not use on the air?
Probably.
All right.
A man apologizes for courtroom feces. And a bicyclist rides by my car and breaks my mirror.
Here's what just happened, by the way.
He looks crazy.
I wish we had a...
And it happened in Beaverton.
You know, here's where life is supposed to not be cheap.
At 8:06 last night, and didn't even stop. He kept going.
Well, if you're a bicyclist and you take off a mirror, it seems like you'd find him in the street clutching his arm and unable to ride any further. How do you know it was a bicyclist?
I saw him ride by and bam!
Oh, you witnessed it. You actually saw it happen.
I was stopped and a bicyclist went to take a right and his handlebar caught my passenger side mirror.
So wait, were you driving?
I was stopped.
You were stopped.
A bicyclist was in motion.
You were stopped. Was this at a stoplight or a stop sign?
A stoplight.
A stoplight.
Yes.
Because Sarah and I talk about this quite frequently. Sarah and I are both... I was having this discussion with Dennis Pitzenberger this morning. So we were talking about bicycling. I was saying that I'm not a cyclist. I don't consider myself a cyclist. Is it a bike? You know, it's not my lifestyle. I'm not a cycling enthusiast. I'm just a cheapskate that I want to be fat. So that's... And I think that's Sarah's whole thing, too. I just don't want to be jacked for like $165 a month, and I don't want to die at the age of 40 from an enlarged heart. So that's kind of why I bicycle. So I don't... I got no particular love for the bicycling community. I mean, I don't want to be...
I don't at this particular moment. At Northwest Salisbury and Northwest Cornell Road last night, you hit the gold Volvo. You'll get yours.
I don't...
And he kept on riding.
Well, of course, because probably afraid you were going to get out and beat him senseless, which you probably would have. See, because we sometimes lament or complain about this, some driver who's been reckless or something. Man, some guy nearly ran me down the other day. And it was that thing where he came out and he did what we call here a California stop, which means he didn't really stop at the stop sign. Sort of a rolling stop.
A semi stop.
Yeah, and the guy came within like 3 inches of just completely pasting me. And so I kind of shake my fist in sort of a get off my lawn kind of a way as I drive by. But, you know, we've talked a lot about bicyclists on the show, the bike Nazis that you've got here in Portland. Bicyclists who somehow think that the rules of the road do not apply to them. They think that because they are bicyclists, they are free to behave in whatever fashion they want, in whatever manner they like. Which is not true.
Even in the suburbs of Beaverton.
Up to and including taking off Tim Riley's mirror. Okay, so there you are. You're at the four-way stop. And a bicyclist is coming up behind you.
I didn't see it at first.
You had no idea.
First it was a clonk, and then I saw... Then I turned and I saw him riding away. So what happened was, on the Volvo, your mirrors fold out if they're hit.
Right.
So,
same thing on a Focus. It's supposed to keep this from happening, actually. They're supposed to have a little bit of give to them.
Right. But however, he cracked the mirror.
So he didn't take that, but he did break the mirror inside the...
Yes, inside the thing.
Inside the
And bent it back.
Did you take off after him in your Volvo?
I didn't immediately because I was trying to figure out what was happening.
You were trying to piece it together.
And finally, I did.
By the time it was all pieced together...
Because my passenger pieced it together for me. That was the bicyclist who turned right after that happened.
And so at that point, and see, I know exactly what happens is you get filled with white-hot boiling rage.
And it's too late to turn back.
And it's too...
Because there's tons of traffic behind you and no place to turn around and go back and hunt them down.
And the only way you could really do it is if you get all Gene Hackman and the French Connection on it. Next thing you know, you're going to be speeding through the mean streets of Beaverton at 114 miles an hour like Popeye Doyle on crack.
You cannot speed anywhere in Beaverton. Two cars go through every light before it turns red.
No, that really is true.
It takes like 4 hours to get through that town.
Well, everybody's just... Going. All the traffic's backed up because everybody's trying to get to Michael's Crafts at the same time or something.
Or the Olive Garden.
Exactly. Get there while the breadsticks are still 2-for-1.
So, you on the bicycle list at Northwest Salisbury and Northwest Cornell last night to hit my Volvo?
You will pay.
You will pay.
There will be a great suffering and a karmic justice inflicted upon
you. You are in the most evil of thoughts at the moment.
the very best part, I wish we had a webcam. The best part is how just as we tipped off this whole thing when I said Tim Riley's working on the following stories, usually he does three. Today he did four. So you went through the first three headlines, and then you did this. You sort of leaned forward and sort of pushed yourself up on your knuckles as though you were some sort of a large, embittered primate that was about to assert its dominance over the rest of the pack or the herd or whatever it is that the primates are in. Fantastic. There you go. Always good to start the show off with some bitterness. Well, there you go. Well, that beats the hell out of what I was going to talk about. All I know is I had the bicycle in because Sarah and I, we were talking yesterday about this. God, this lunch that we were going to go to, and God damn, I mean, it's like...
Would you eat the rest of my hamburger?
Oh, of course, hell yeah. I paid for it. I'm not going to see, because that's the thing.
I want to hear the hamburger story.
To me,
you don't.
See, yeah, to me, it's not even about being a glutton. To me, it really is about...
This sounds like being a glutton to me.
It's not about being a glutton as such. If I pay for something, and those hamburgers are like $90 a piece. If I'm paying for a hamburger, I'm going to eat it.
I finished like a third of mine, and Rick not only ate his giant cheeseburger, he ate mine as well.
And also my fries, plus the rest of your mayonnaise. That was... I did have the decency to wait until you were gone. We went to lunch yesterday at this place, Carafe, down the street, and they have really what I believe by any estimation to be the best cheeseburgers I have ever had in my life. And I know that in Portland, those are fighting words here. I understand that. In Portland, you're still talking about three things. Best beer, best pizza, best cheeseburger, and there are going to be guys lined up to fight you for the honor of... You know, whatever, like the Helvetia burger or whatever, which is the Stanich's burger with it. I'm just saying, for me, and I normally don't like any upscale food, anything that has like an accent mark on it, I'm afraid to order because I feel like I'm getting above my raising. It really, I had to be convinced to eat at this place. It was Bruce Hagler that convinced us to eat there. And, I mean, it's like a cheeseburger that's just made entirely out of beef-flavored butter. Just melts in your mouth. You put it in, and you can feel the buttons on your pants just beginning to scream. You know what I mean? And so I finished mine, and then I'm doing that thing of kind of staring at Sarah's plate. I imagine this is what it's like to be an alcoholic or a drug addict and to see someone in a restaurant pushing away a half-full glass of wine. You know what I mean? Where they're sort of, no, I won't have the rest of this alcohol, thanks. I'm done. And then they push the wine away and you're sort of sitting there staring at it going, why didn't you finish it? Finish it! You know, and it just makes you angry. You can't understand. So Sarah, it was myself and Sarah and our good friend Mike Everhart. Sarah gets up to leave to go pick up her dog. And as soon as she's gone, man, it's like I just picked myself and moved right over to your side of the booth. Put the rest of that down.
I saw that. It was a little sad.
Well, what am I going to do? Let it sit there? When am I ever going to get... I operate under the assumption I have this sort of very strange grasp of caloric mathematics. I sort of figure that any meal... It's like you always hear that thing in school that your body can only process so many vitamins in a given day. And so anything you have over... Like, you know, you can only process 20 grams of protein or at a time, whatever that is they told us in health classes. So anything you eat above that, your body just flushes out. I sort of assume it works that way with fat. You know, your body can only process so many calories. So if I eat them all really quickly, like in one sitting, if I put down all 1,500 calories at once, then it's fine. My body will get like 300-400 calories in and just decide to throw the rest away. So, man, yeah, I completely put that down last night. And it was fantastic, I might add. All right. Well, let's do this. So we don't get behind today. Let us go to the Ministry of Truth. We'll do a couple stories. We'll break. We got Gary, Bob Costantini. Or do we have to break here?
We should probably just break now.
What time is it?
It's 11:22.
Is it 22? Damn, where does the time go? Where indeed? Where indeed? All right, we will break here is what we'll do. We'll come back with our good friend, the fun-loving and colorful Bob Costantini. We have Storm Large News coming up around 11:45 today. Later on, we have Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles, Gary Baumgarten, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, and Tim Riley, who is embittered and full of blackened hate. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Friday, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. For those of you playing the home game, Sarah's got a weird rash on her arm, and my head is itchy.
There you go.
I got your thing of the itchy head because of the lack of...
You didn't shower?
Because I didn't do any cleaning. And it's not just the head. It's not an all-over itch.
Okay.
No, I'm saying it's an all-over... I didn't shower.
Well, I'm just kind of freaked out of where this came from.
It's Morgellons.
Well, I was wearing this sweater last night, so maybe it's an indent from the sweater.
Is it a sweater that's been cleaned?
No, actually, I don't think I've ever washed it.
Where was it? How old is it?
Like 2 years old. Is that gross?
Well, Instapol, is it gross? Sarah's wearing a sweater she hasn't, quote, ever cleaned. We're taking your calls. That's 503-733-2970. No, seriously, is that gross? It's 503-733-2970. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Bob Costantini. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Rick.
You know, yeah. My energy level is like way up here. And
am I there? Oh, okay.
You're like, way down here, Bob.
Good morning.
We try so much to build momentum for you so that when you come on, you feel the energy. And then you come on and it's just sort of...
Yeah, perhaps it wasn't worthy of the fanfare. I'm sorry.
Hello. I hate to think that this... can I just ask you a question? Man
sure.
to man and broadcaster to broadcaster.
Broadcaster to broadcaster, yes.
Is doing this show something you dread?
Not at all.
Are you sure about that?
Not at all.
You can be honest, Bob. We have that kind of relationship. You don't have to lie to me.
No, I just always have to be on my ready to roll with the punches and ready to make sure that
I
don't express too much opinion.
Maybe I haven't really explained what kind of program this is. We really are just hacks, Bob, and I'm not including you in that. I'm saying us here on this end. We're really not respectable broadcasters.
Oh, I believe you are in a lot of ways.
Okay.
I'm sure you are.
Here's the thing. And you can, here's the thing, Bob. And you can just answer in yes or no statements if someone's watching.
And you try to make talk interesting, too.
I try. I don't succeed.
You know. No, I think you do, but
Before we move on to the actual news, there's one final question. Again, if you need to answer in some sort of Morse code, or if you just, whatever, if you just need to tap the phone twice for yes.
All right.
Now, is this because you got like Ed McCarthy, who by his own admission does a lot of his reporting while sitting at home with his feet on the coffee table and a beer in his other hand? and the best part is you think I'm kidding. You feel like you have to be extra on guard because you are broadcasting from the CNN facility where someone might observe you behaving in a way that is not befitting a CNN journalist?
No. Even though,
is someone making you say this, Bob?
The studio inside the bureau, and I'm actually on Capitol Hill today.
Okay.
But the studio inside the bureau has a big fishbowl type window in it, and sometimes just for fun, I pretend I'm swimming when people are walking by.
Okay. But, moving on then.
You're pretty much your own. You're pretty much on your own there.
Okay.
And I'm on Capitol Hill today, where. I sit in a little booth here that's, I've seen bigger closets.
Do we make you nervous, Bob? I would hate to think that we made you nervous or uneasy in any way. That's certainly
Okay. Not at all.
Just checking.
I just, as I say, I always try to maintain my objectivity and that kind of thing.
And you're a better person for it, Bob. We respect that.
I hope so.
We respect that even if we can't identify with it. Let's talk about our good friend, former Congressman Mark Foley. To think that, like, a week and a half ago, I didn't really even know that name. I mean, I guess I'd heard about him, but I just sort of had heard about him and put him in the file of guys that didn't really impact or affect my life in any way. So let me understand this now. So Speaker Dennis Hastert, he's now, at least for now, he's not stepping down. That's his thing, right? He's not going to quit.
No, he isn't, and a lot of people here on Capitol Hill will basically tell you that they believe it would be a huge mistake, and it would be disastrous in terms of the elections anyway if Hastert were to step down. And if he did step down, it would not likely, appease the Democrats. That's the way they're looking at it. Even if he did step down, the Democrats are still going to charge ahead with whatever they can about this incident and try to, get as much benefit as they can out of it.
Is this said that the Republicans show no signs of weakness thing? Is that their deal? Is show no weakness at all?
Well, the idea is that you can replace Speaker Hastert, but it isn't necessarily going to change, the outcome of the election probably isn't going to change if Hastert were to step down. People will still think what they want to think when they go into the voting places. I saw a survey, I guess, today of Hastert only had about 40% name recognition to begin with.
Right.
So it's the sort of thing that, if you replace him, whether or not, if the Republicans can maintain control of the House, then there could be a fight for the speakership, needless to say.
Well, we were talking to Lisa Gotti yesterday, and she made this up. She repeated something that Trent Lott himself, no stranger to scandal, something that he'd said, where you can get through anything in 90 days. But, of course, the problem is Republicans don't have 90 days because this is coming down on them just like a Mack truck. And so what do you think of – well, let me ask you this, because I know that'll make you awkward. What do people think of Dennis Hastert's not-so-subtle sort of hints that he believes this to be some sort of a conspiracy, that the Democrats knew about this, and then they just uncorked it at exactly the right moment to derail the election?
Well, it perhaps isn't surprising that this kind of thing, that kind of statement is being made by Dennis Hastert, and as a matter of fact, the House Republican Conference has sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi just recently saying, well, what did you know about it, and are you willing to testify before the Ethics Committee, which launched its investigation yesterday under a lot of fanfare. Pelosi's office said they hadn't actually received that letter, and her spokeswoman told us just a few moments ago, the only people who are saying the Democrats may have known about this are people who seem to have known about it well
themselves.
And so that's that's the
Nancy Pelosi
on Capitol Hill. And speaking of Trent Lott, actually, for a moment, you may have heard that President Bush called Speaker Hastert last night and offered words of support to him, something he didn't do to Trent Lott. The White House left Trent Lott hanging out in the wind considerably.
Oh, yeah. Well, because they know, I mean,
this particular problem.
Well, you're saying that you're afraid that they don't want the election to be a disaster. And I mean, really, I think the phrase is they don't want the election, the Republicans don't want the election to be more of a disaster than it's clearly already going to be. I mean, that's the thing. And it is interesting that Republicans have just taken a page out of the Hillary Clinton playbook, which is if something goes wrong, it's a conspiracy. And Nancy Pelosi had the greatest statement this morning where she was talking, she's like, it's like, I will drain the Republican swamp.
Drain the Republican swamp.
Oh, which is fantastic. See, that, I'm just saying, politically speaking, in what Henry Kissinger would call real politic, which is just how to win things, Democrats need to do a little bit more of that. They just need to, all channel their inner Howard Dean. I want to move on to something else in just a second, but I have one final question, which is, I heard conflicting stories about this morning, which sort of seems to be the leitmotif of this whole thing, but I heard that, is it true that there's dozens of pages that they're going to be subpoenaing for this?
Well, we do know that dozens of subpoenas are going to be going out, if they all haven't gone out already. I went down to the Ethics Committee offices a short time ago, and it seems to be pretty much empty at the moment. But we do know that dozens of subpoenas, you know, I went down there literally expecting to have subpoenas flying out the room. But seriously, they did not, we do not know exactly who's been subpoenaed just yet.
All right.
It is likely that we will, you know, they will be getting some, getting to the Speaker's office themselves, you know, and that kind of thing. But we haven't heard anything yet. I've put in a couple calls to the Speaker's press guy, and he hasn't returned them.
You know, there's, to be in the press right now or talk radio, it's like using a self-propelled lawnmower. Really, you know, you have to push. All you have to do is steer it. Real quickly, I know you got to go here. We got to do some other stuff as well.
Sure.
I don't even really know what to make of this other statement, though, that they sort of tagged onto your CNN prep sheet this morning, which is, Interior Department and government employees are spending, and I'm quoting now, thousands of hours a week visiting sex and gambling websites. Look. I mean, I work for a pretty liberal company in terms of personnel policy, and really, I don't even know that I could get away with spending thousands of hours a week visiting sex and gambling websites. And I'm talking about a place where they openly serve vodka starting at like 11 a.m. on a Friday. So,
yeah, the Interior Department in particular has a lot of issues going. The Inspector General recently talked about how there is absolutely no ethical guidelines at the Interior Department. So the Inspector General is the person who, you know, is like an auditor of the books, an auditor of the whole situation there. And he recently testified on Capitol Hill that there just is there's no ethical standards in the place. It's just, I don't know, I guess, how do I put it succinctly? Just you know.
Lord of the Flies, frat house, a zoo. I'm sorry that it's what?
Not being run very well at all.
Yes, okay. If they need me to start issuing their press releases, I can come up with better statements than that. So,
well, you know, of course,
I thought internet gambling, isn't Bush signing something into law? I thought internet gambling was going to be illegal. I thought it was going to be banned or something.
Not that I know of. Internationally it's not banned. Most of these sites are offshore, as I understand them.
It's good to know that my tax dollars are working hard, my friend.
And not my expertise, I guess. But,
oh, Bob, now, look, you strike me as a fun-loving guy.
Yes, I've tried to stay away from those kinds of things because I have a daughter in college. And
see, this is... And Bob, and we admire, you know what it is? We here at the Rick Emerson Show, we admire your upright and upstanding nature. Even as we attempt to drag you down into what Nancy Pelosi might call a swamp here at the Rick Emerson Show. So
You can check all my email messages. Everything is good.
All right, my friend. Rick. Bob Costantini, let me ask you this.
Sure.
See good things in the future for you, Bob. I want you to be pondering this. Should you become sort of a full-time, permanently ensconced, you would be thinking about what you want your introduction theme to be. Because the West Wing is kind of Lisa Goddard, but we'll give you your own at some point. You'll be thinking about it.
A fanfare for the common man.
That is perfect. All right, Bob Costantini, you enjoy your weekend, sir.
All right, Rick, thank you very much. You too.
All right, thank you. There you go. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Hill. See, I can see we're breaking through the shell. Bob Costantini.
Okay.
Bob Costantini, you know what he is? He's built himself, as Dan Rydell once said, he's built himself a wall. And with bricks of sadness, and Mortar of Pain, and then a third thing that I can never remember. Bricks of Sadness, Pain of the Mortar, and then there's something else. I don't know what it is. We're breaking through it, though. Believe me, we are. All right, here's what we're going to do. I got a Storm email, and not from Storm. Let me stop. I've got an email from Davey. I've got an email from Storm herself, which ties into some news, and then I've got this from the Portland Mercury. It's actually from the New York Daily News, but then it via the Portland Mercury. So I will do all of those things. Maybe I'll do them now. All right. Well, let me just read this first of all. This is from Davey, our good friend Davey Neeples. He says, Rick, this ties back as a callback to something we were talking about yesterday. He says, I am completely fascinated by this no nipples business. And this is about Sarah's friend, Kara, who apparently has bosoms which are Barbie-like and completely smooth, lacking any sort of nipples. Are there any pictures? Please tell me there are. I missed the call. Was there a woman who commented on breastfeeding? Holy S. I have never heard of this. Now I can't stop thinking about it. Annie, you and me both, my friend.
Yeah, I won't even tell you the email that Davey sent me about breast milk.
What?
Yeah.
Tell us.
I promised I wouldn't
tell us.
Oh,
come on. Come on.
I promise.
Well, you can't. I'm sure that the promise probably included not mentioning the email at all, which you've now done. So just continue to break your vow. Let me ask you this. Was it related to your friend?
No, it was related to his ex-wife's breast milk.
Did it involve accidental ingestion of same?
Not accidental.
Oh! Hello! Hello! That's kind of an early lunch hour story. Somebody sent me, by the way, that he isolated that business about the refrigerator full of maggots and flies. I might play that randomly throughout the day. Here's the thing that I want to know. And this really, I do wonder this, because, you know, scientifically speaking, because this might be a secret shame. Many, many women, perhaps many women in this country, none of what you think, you look at them, you think they're normal, underneath, no nipples.
That's true. Yeah, I could have many girlfriends that don't have nipples.
Well, but my question is, so did you see them?
Yeah, she showed them to us.
Were you at a slumber party? How
yes.
old were you?
It was like seventh grade. It was like eighth grade.
Well, maybe they came in later. Maybe she's a slow. So you're there. You were at a slumber party? I was just kidding. And so who brought it up? Were you?
I think she did.
Getting dangerously excited. Was it part of a larger discussion that you girls were all having while in nightgowns about your changing bodies?
Okay, A, you don't wear nightgowns to slumber parties.
Whatever.
And B, I don't remember.
Mesh football jerseys with nothing underneath.
Yeah, I don't remember how it came up, but I remember that she told us and showed us.
And she said, you know, I don't have any. And then you said no, and she said yeah, and you said no, and she said yeah, and you said no. And then she showed you.
She did.
Did you? Now, was it visual inspection only?
Oh, my God.
I'm asking because it's a fair question. Because
it is not a fair question.
Here's
That's
why.
Gross.
Okay, here. Dirty. Here's why it's a fair question. Because, and you know this, now even if you yourself have not done this, you know that if there's I won't say where it was, it wasn't here, it was at another radio station, but there was a woman in the office, a saleswoman, who got she has implants put in. And she came back to work, and it was very obvious because she had been very modestly endowed. Came back to work, bada bing, so-and-so has, you know, implants. And I swear to God, you would walk by her cubicle and some of the other female AEs, the other same ones, were over there. And she's like, no, 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 really. No, they feel, no, totally feel it. No, feel it. Yeah. And then the other sales girls would be like, you know, and they'd reach out really tentatively. And then it was sort of a, oh, my God, they totally feel real. So I know that girls do things like this. All right. Anyway, he says, I have never heard of this. Now I cannot stop thinking about it. Any and all info appreciated. And yes, you can use me publicly to back you on this. This is amazing, says Davey. And I do get many questions about your friend. Eventually, we'll
get
her on
the
show.
Didn't you say you knew somebody else who didn't have nipples? Or was that somebody else I was talking to?
No. No?
Yeah, I was talking to someone who also had
a friend. I'd remember that. Yeah, no, I... Really?
Yeah.
I would totally...
Well, I haven't talked to Kara in, like, 12 years.
It's fascinating. No, I would remember that if I had a friend. All right. Let me read this brief thing about Storm, then we'll have the Storm news, then we'll play a little Storm, so forth. Now let's quickly get to Jesse. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
What's going on?
Jesse, brother man, what's up?
Nothing much. I watched that Tim Riley special last night.
Oh, the Tim Riley's guide. I keep forgetting what it's called. Is it the Tim Riley classroom special or the education?
Yeah, it's like a bad. He's trying to bring back bad after school specials.
Oh, no, he doesn't try. He does. Tim Riley brings it back is what he does. If you haven't seen those, they're on. I'm getting nothing out of this. It's just a cool thing that you ought to see. It's on demand or whatever, but it really is fantastic.
I saw it. But by seeing him for the first time, I figured out who can play him in your movie.
And that is?
You ever seen The New Guy?
The New Guy?
Yeah, it's a kid he's also in Road Trip.
No. Oh, wait, no. Sarah?
He's a big nerd in Road Trip who sleeps with a big...
Yeah.
The only guy I know from the I can remember from Road Trip is the Stifler guy or whatever his name is.
No, yeah, he's in it too. No, this guy can be like Tom Riley's son by far.
Okay,
it's like the epitome of him in a kid.
All right, excellent. So he could play. So we could do the movie of Tim's life. Anderson Cooper plays him maybe in the future. Tim plays himself now. This guy plays Tim Riley perhaps as a younger man.
No, you just give him white hair and he looks exactly like him. he can play him now.
Okay, thank you, Jesse.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right, yeah. All right, there you go. That's it.
That guy looks nothing like Tim.
Yeah. And rain on Jesse's parade. All right, this is from, and I wasn't, Sarah and I were talking about this during the break. I had seen this in the New York Daily News, and I was not going to read it, because I don't want to traffic in gossip about our friends. That seems wrong. We do have our boundaries here. But now that it's been in the Portland Mercury, and Storm herself has commented on it, obviously, and she's called it crap. That's a big deal. And that is, I will just read this. This is from the Portland Mercury again, originally from the Daily News. One thing that's not fun is being the target of gossip. And love her or hate her, that's exactly where Storm Large has been lately. Says the New York Daily News, Dave Navarro must not read the gossip columns, or he'd know he was supposed to be dating a young lady by the name of Susan Howard. Who is Susan Howard? Do we know who she is? Some chick? Host of the recently completed Rockstar Supernova, Navarro has been hanging out with one of the show's sexy contestants, the elaborately named Storm Susan Large. They were looking very cozy at the Stuff Style Awards party in L.A. last week, where, bizarrely, Howard herself was being trailed by a camera crew from her own reality show. Howard did not look very happy when Navarro blatantly avoided her and hid out in the VIP area with Large. Dave was, quote, says a spy witness, quote, Dave was rubbing Storm's back, and then, bold-faced, they snuggled before leaving together, end quote. Storm tells the Mercury, quote, that's all BS. The Daily News thing. It's total grasping at straws gossip. I love Dave. He's my friend. Beyond that, it's strictly musical. That's a great phrase. He laid some heavy guitars on the new rock version of Ladylike, and it sounds killer. New version set to be released October 17th.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is next, not next Tuesday. It's a week from next Tuesday.
Well, they snuggled always sounds so dumb. I mean, they could just be hugging and someone could say they're snuggling.
Well, and snuggling is just a fade. Who knows what that even means? So, there you go. Okay, so that leads us up to this, and they'll play a little Storm into the break, and then we'll come back with the AM 970 new news hour, Tim Riley, etc. Coming up later on, Aaron Geek in the City. Bam! Here's what I got, and this was sent to me by like 1,000 people this morning. And you know what? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Have you seen this? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm now looking at the industry standard, the industry Bible for album and singles sales, buzz, and airplay. I am looking now at the singles sales chart in the newest issue of Billboard Magazine, the Bible of the music and broadcast industries.
It's true.
Here are the top 10 selling singles in the country according to Billboard Magazine. Number 10, Mindless Self-Indulgence. I don't even know what that is. Some song, Shut Me Up. Number 9, Diddy with Blah, Come to Me featuring somebody or other. Number 8, Beyonce featuring Jay-Z, Deja Vu. Number 7, Justin Timberlake, Sexy Back. Number 6, Fergie with London Bridge. Number 5, ladies and gentlemen, Storm Large and the Balls, Ladylike. So congratulations to Storm and the Balls from all of us here at the Rick Emerson Show. Play a little Ladylike here. Come back after the break with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. Storm in the Balls.
I'm sorry about your girl, little center of the universe. Access turns the world, and you need a jet to get to her. And all the ways she moves attracts all kinds of focus from all over the room. She smokes, not lady lies. She's not lady. Just like you, yeah, just like you. Look how many cars.